Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 through 18, and beginning in verse 1, these are the inerrant, infallible words of our Lord. Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed to us by those who heard him? God also bearing witness with signs and wonders, with various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to his own will. For he has not put the world to come, of which we speak, in subjection to angels, but one testified in a certain place, saying, "What is man that you are mindful of him, or the Son of Man that you take care of him? You have made him a little lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor, and set him over the work of your hands. You have put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we do not yet see all things put under him, but we see Jesus, who is made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God might taste death for everyone. For it was fitting for him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified are all of one, for which reason he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly I will sing praise to you. And again I will put my trust in him. And again, here am I, the children whom God has given me. Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and release those through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For indeed he does not give aid to angels, but he does give aid to the seed of Abraham. Therefore in all things he had to be made like his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered, being tempted, he is able to aid those who are tempted. And those are God's words. Chapter 2 continues, if you remember, chapter 1, showing that Jesus Christ is greater than the angels. So chapter 2 continues, making first application that Christ is greater than the angels, that we need to heed what Christ says all the more than because he is greater than the angels. In verse 3, we're called to turn from our sins and pursue righteousness in Christ, and thus refrain from neglecting our great salvation that we've been given. We must believe and obey, therefore, the gospel that was so clearly proclaimed over time and still proclaimed today. And then verse 5, it goes back to the theme of Christ greater than the angels again. That Christ is so far beyond the angels, he now sits on the throne over all things. All things, verse 8, are in subjection under his feet. He left nothing that is not put under him. All things are under him. We don't see the all things, it says, but all things are still put under him. As he is our mediator king, what we do see is Jesus himself in the good news, verse 9, in his suffering death crowned with glory through the gospel. He who died for our sins on the cursed cross that we might be saved by faith in him. And then through verse 15, that declares it declares the glory to us of the cross. To the end of the chapter, then laying down the incarnation, that Christ did not become like the angels to save us. He did not become a little bit lower like the angels to save, but he went even lower, it says. And he If he would have only become like the angels, he would not have saved us. But he was made like us mankind, like man, so that he would be the perfect mediator, the perfect high priest, in order to pay the perfect price and bear the punishment for the sins of us, God's people. God's people, we have a great Lord, a great Savior in Christ Jesus, our priestly King who sits on the throne, exalted over all, who is now far greater, again, far greater than the angels, but he lowered himself to be a man to the point of the suffering death of the cross in order to save us. That's our Savior, and that's Jesus Christ exalted here in chapter 2. Let's pray. Our gracious Father, we give you praise in your Son, Jesus Christ, who was not made like the angels, for he, far greater than the angels, humiliated himself far lower to the point of man, and humiliation becoming like man, made under the law, and yet even suffered, and even to the point of death and death on a cross, and even remaining under the power of death for a time. Father, we give you praise for the humiliation of Jesus Christ as our prophet and our priest and our king, who while on the earth and suffering the things of this world, prophesied and spoke the truth, your word to us, your people. We're thankful that he is a priest, that he often was found praying and interceding for us, the people of God, the children of God, even as we see it in the most exalted way in John 17 in the high priestly prayer, when he was praying for us that we would be with him where he is, and yet knowing that we ought not to be with him yet. Father, we're thankful for our prophet and our priest, and we're all thankful for our king who is exalted and who was shown to be the king and ruler of all, now has been given all things, put under his feet, and now sits as the mediator king, the priestly king, who prophesies and speaks clearly to us the truth and reveals to us God himself and the Word. And so, Father, we're thankful and we give you all exaltation for the humiliation of Christ and the offices of his prophet, as prophet, priest, and king. And Father, we're thankful that he is now sitting on the throne, which gives us great comfort, knowing that he is sovereign over all things, over all nations, over our nation, over all things, over even the church, and all things he is sovereign over for the church, for the good of the church, for the spreading of the gospel and for the spreading of the kingdom throughout the world. He is working now in his sovereignty to call all the elect to himself. All this is the numbering of the sea, the sand on the seashore, and the stars in the heavens. So he is bringing all of them, all of the elect of Abraham's seed, in to the sheepfold. And Father, we are pleading that you would bring more in, that you would use us, that you would grow our church, as we prayed this morning, that you would bring us more members, but not just members from other churches, but members who are new converts, who believe the gospel for the first time and come and worship here. We pray that surely that we are those who have been well equipped to help such people and serve such people. We ask that you would make it so that we would be serving such people, and you would bring that to our lives. We do pray and ask for the church in Phoenix this coming week, and their pastor retiring and the new pastor being ordained in the same week. We're praising you for that, and praise you for the opportunity myself to go and preach for Chris Myers and his ordination sermon. And we're thankful for the pastor retiring there, and ask that you would bless him and his family, and bless the new pastor, and that transition from one pastor to another would be very easy, and it would be a blessing for your church there in Phoenix. So we pray for them and ask that you would grow that church and cause them to love the gospel and proclaim the gospel faithfully, just as we pray for our own congregation. And Father, we do pray for the congregation in Columbia that soon you would provide a pastor for them. I know they're not necessarily looking at the current time, but Father, we ask that in your timing, you would bring a minister of the gospel to be there faithfully Lord's Day after Lord's Day, and that they, having struggled for many, many years without a pastor, Father, that you would provide one for them. Father, we do thank you for our presbytery. Know that we have prayed during prayer meeting for one pastor in our presbytery who had was brought trouble from the government regarding his child. We pray that you will strengthen his family. We're thankful that the child is now home, I believe, and that you would be honored and praised for having preserved and also preserved their child and them through this time. But also we're thankful that you brought about the judge, the worldly judge, to show mercy to them and their family, and we're thankful for them. Father, we're thankful. We are thankful for our congregation that you have brought us thus far. We pray that you'll bring us many more years of faithful ministry here, and that you would watch over us and protect us from the evil one. May the center of all that we do be the gospel of Jesus Christ, as we've heard here in Hebrews 2, and that you would make it and give it in our hearts to be zealous for the gospel and zealous for good works and zealous to repent of our sins and be grieving and sorrowful over our sins. Father, we also pray that you would help us reach out and evangelize and tell people about Jesus, simply inviting people to come to worship, to hear and to see Jesus, just as the disciples were calling others to come and see Jesus. So we pray that we would be calling others to see Jesus. Father, we pray for our children and those who have gone out from us, who have brought reproach upon your name, who have hated you, who have hated, therefore, people in our church because of their hatred of you. Father, may you give them a sharp rebuke and turn them from their sin by your Spirit and give them faith in your Son, Jesus Christ. We know that you are the builder of the church, and you are able to save even them who have rebelled against you. Father, and we know that they're rebelling against their parents, or they're rebelling against others in the church, is really a rebelling against your Son Jesus Christ. And so, Father, just as we heard in the call to worship, we pray that we will continue living godly lives, and that we would continue loving and showing gospel love towards our children who have gone out from us, and the children of this congregation. We pray that you would recall the word that they've heard, that they would recall it, and bring that to bear upon their lives, and that would plague them, lest they would turn to you in faith. Father, we ask that you would bless our congregation, that you would uplift us and grant to us your mercy and your grace as we continue worshiping you now. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.